Well, this morning we do have Joe and Karina Cavanaugh with us, and I would like to invite you forward for what you have to share with us today.
Morning, church.
Morning.
It's really good to be here. I need to apologize for my attire. So this really good blue collared shirt and slacks that I have is up in Allentown in a closet. Because when we were leaving there yesterday, I just didn't grab it. So sorry, I'm dressed down a little bit. I just want to let you guys know that about 7 years ago, we were in Haiti, Karina and I, on a missions trip. We got called by the Lord to full-time mission. And we prayed for a year about that. And as we come back, we've been on the field for 4 years and 3 years, and then we come back for a furlough. It's just really apparent to me that when we came to your mission board, like, we didn't have any data. We couldn't say, hey, this is the ministry we're doing in central Mexico. Would you support that? Hey, here are some of the people we know. And so we didn't have any ministries up and running. But what we said to your mission board is, we believe that God is calling us to the poor and the marginalized in central Mexico. And your mission board says, we believe with you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to bless you with prayers and some finance. So you guys were faithful before you even saw fruit. And so I just want to thank you for that. It's just really apparent how God continues to share his abundance. So we're going to give you, now we got some data, we're going to give you an update. Because we've been there for a little while. So we have some things to show, and Karina will I guess run that clicker, right?
I think there. Oh.
Okay, can I start? We good?
Yes.
Okay. From the prophet Jeremiah, we hear this. Thus says the Lord, in this place of which you say it is a waste, and streets are desolated, there shall be heard again the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bride and the bridegroom. We want to model Christ so that the people who have decided to follow him will recognize his love in a personal and life-changing manner. We are Joe and Karina Cavanaugh. We serve our Lord in central Mexico. We delight and have a passion for ministry to walking alongside the poor and the marginalized. Because in our younger years, there was abuse and addiction, emotional and spiritual poverty, and we understand deeply the only way to victory and transformation from that bondage is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and being connected to a body of believers with biblical worldview. We believe if you want to keep the good news or the gospel strong and transformative in your life, then you need to give it away to keep it. We have both had the privilege of being discipled by older saints, and we recognize the importance of this process. God has blessed us with wisdom and dedication, patience to proclaim the good news and to disciple others. The village of Bella Vista in central Mexico is a marginalized colonial. No paved roads, many do not have running water or electricity. Their circumstances weigh them down so much, and Satan has lied to them for so long, they are deaf and blind to the truth that can set them free. The spiritual poverty that is palpable in this village is what broke our hearts when we visited this village 5 years ago. Today, because of gracious supporters like yourself, we're able to work with the local church to bring hope and healing. Because of God's abundance and your generosity, there are three growing ministries at God's Cabin. A Saturday children's program, begun in 2016 and then closed during COVID, has survived and blossomed to include a lesson, worship games, and food. A Friday evening prayer and worship service was birthed out of one of the national family's desire to share the good news of Bella Vista, and we're praying that that will be in the future of church. The third ministry is a breakfast program that began in October. Because of several churches and individuals given directly to fund this project, breakfast is served 3 days a week for children before they go to school. During this breakfast time, there is a team, including our pastor, who are available to minister to the children. What a wonderful opportunity to share the love of Christ and build relationships. But together we can do more. The children in Bella Vista normally do not get to eat before school. Families have minimal resources and little knowledge of nutritional needs for a growing child. The children would be blessed if a healthier breakfast could be offered 5 or 6 days a week.
God's cabin is a safe place for children and families. We are seeing God touching hearts and transforming lives. We are seeing more moms and even some dads bring their children for breakfast. The children are excited to share a meal and a prayer. There's a sparkle in the mom's eyes knowing that their child has a full belly. More and more parents are interacting at the cabin, and we praise God that through the children, families are being transformed. This is Kimberly. She is a vibrant, energetic 10-year-old girl. She is growing in knowledge of the Lord. She faithfully comes to breakfast each morning and attends the Saturday Bible Club. Kimberly is nearing a critical age. You see, when she turns 12 years old, she will have to decide between continuing her spiritual walk or returning to her family's poverty mindset. Many girls in Bella Vista will become sexually active by the age of 12, and many will become pregnant by the age of 15. By expanding the breakfast program to 5 or even 6 days a week, children like Kimberly will have greater opportunity to be loved on, discipled, and build a firm Christ-centered foundation to influence their decisions in upcoming years. You can make a difference in the lives of children like Kimberly. For just $75 a month, you will be able to feed 40 children breakfast for one day. Will you prayerfully consider about signing up for one day a month? We have a calendar, and you can pick the day you would like to sponsor. Together, we will open the doors for God to move in a mighty way. We would be remiss if we didn't cover this ministry with prayer. We ask that you set some time aside to commit to pray on the day that you choose to sponsor. Another ministry partner on our team will call you or message you the day before to remind you to pray. Your prayers and financial support will help to bring spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. Together, we will see mirth and gladness, hope and healing return to Bella Vista. You can be part of the body of Christ that will send us back to Mexico, back to Bella Vista, back to serving the children and families at God's cabin.
So we're glad to give you that update. God is doing a lot of things that if we had more pictures, maybe we can get some up and show at the luncheon afterwards. But you saw the kids sitting around the breakfast program. That place 5 years ago looked like a burnout garage. And we've been able to, with the help of churches and of course God's providence, been able to retile that, remortar that, and upgrade the electricity. And so it's actually become a community center. That the Secretary of Health from Irapuato has come down, and they actually send medical teams to God's Cabin. It's called La Cabaña de Dios in Spanish. God's Cabin is now a community center because of you and many other people's generosity. I'm going to share this brief message. Can I move this without getting in trouble? Pastor? Pastor, yep. Do I have your permission? Thank you. You know what I'm saying. Remember that missionary man? He came and moved the Bible. Good Lord. Let me just... So like I was saying to a couple people, this is our first church service to come and share and give updates. And so we know that we're going to have to work a couple bugs out because we're human. And so the scripture that we sent in to read was the wrong scripture, but it's still in the same chapter. You know, and God gives a lot of grace as you do. So Karina's going to read the scripture we're going to go from. So let me just open with this, church. We thank God for his abundance and blessing. So many times we hear the talk of scarcity and fear, yet we know as God's children, we serve a king who has everything we need in abundance. This abundance is in God's kingdom now. I say now because there are some people who believe the kingdom of God is in heaven, which it is also. But the Lord says in Luke's gospel to the Pharisees, who being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answers them. The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Many times we look at circumstances around us and get overwhelmed. But when we acknowledge and move with the faith that God is in control of all things, yes, all things, are working out for our good and his glory, we can rest in his good care and abundance. Today I'm just going to give us a small message out of Luke's gospel, and Karina's going to read from Luke 14, what, sweetheart?
You said 16.
16, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Luke 14, 16 to, I believe, 24. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, "Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame." And the servant said, Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room." And the master said to the servant, "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet."
So before I start, I want to say, and as I listen to your generosity with charity and filling lunch baskets and feeding children, the Lord's going to teach about dismantling barriers. And so you're going to see some talk about charity, and then you're going to hear some talk about the next level of inclusion. So I am not dismissing the church's need to continue to feed the poor and clothe the kids, but you'll see I'll use that as an example, and then maybe another step some of us can take. Now, as we see in the parable, Jesus is trying to teach the rich and religious leaders and us there is a difference between charity and responsibility to the poor, and he begins to teach how to include the poor in their life, in their community, and in our lives as believers. By law or Torah, it was required for every good Jew to give alms to the poor. A system was in place, right? So the poor and the handicapped could beg for alms and could eke out an existence. But Jesus wanted to change that cultural norm. It's that upside-down kingdom again. He wants to change that. You see, I truly believe that food drives, clothing drives, community meals are good. But what Jesus is after in this parable is to teach and model inclusion. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. Inclusion, an invitation into the kingdom, not just an immediate need met, if you will. What he's trying to teach and model Israel and to us is one of inclusion into the kingdom of God now. He is always providing spiritual nourishment and invitation. He's showing Israel and the church today there is much more to being God's people than rules, laws, tradition, and charity. After food drives, community meals, there's another level of love and care and inclusion to the least of these. I would suggest when given the opportunity at these charitable events, take the time to sit with people coming to the event and ask them how they're doing. Ask them what their story is, and then listen attentively. God might show you a way to practice inclusion by walking with them in some way a while in hopes, as you read in the parable, you can convince them to come in from the hedges and highways and into the table of the Lord and community. Over the course of his ministry, Jesus repeatedly creates sacred space around the tables and houses of others, ministering to the hurt, delivering understanding to the proud. That includes us sometimes. These occurrences run like a thread through the gospel narrative. Jesus was always seen sharing physical and spiritual nourishment with others from all walks of life at the various tables. While his meals shared with those living on the fringes of society seemed audacious in that time, in the eyes of many, they served as an entry point to the kingdom of God for many more. They serve today as an entry point to the kingdom of God for many. Why? Because Jesus is teaching, he's ministering, he's inviting, he's always giving worth and dignity whose society says they have none. Corinne and I have been blessed with a passion and delight, as you heard, to walk with those who feel they have to stay outside the camp. It's one thing to help out because it's an obligation or it's the right thing to do, but my experience is when God gives you a gift and places a gift of delight and passion in your heart, I believe it changes everything. And I'm sure some of you guys here have a passion for ministries. You just get energy from it. So, but that's a gift from God. So, and God has given that Karina and I. We just love walking alongside the poor and the marginalized. This sometimes takes your time and resources. But my time and my resources are not my own, right? They're a gift from my Father in heaven to be used to further his kingdom down here and bring souls in for the kingdom and his glory. We understand there are many different life circumstances that put people in the margins. The people in Luke's gospel, the people in the hedges and highways, were the people of Israel with many hard and heavy circumstances. How many people do we know have encountered Jesus maybe once, but life has beaten them back down? They feel ostracized or not worthy to be at our Christian table of community. I have many stories about sitting and listening to those on the margins. Let me tell you about a man named Big Mike. Mike stands about 6'2", 240 pounds, covered with tattoos. We were at a community meal many years ago. I sat at the table with Mike and some men, and after some conversation, Mike started to talk about the brief message that the pastor had given. And he looked at me and said this. He said, "Joe, I can do 3 to 5 years in prison standing on my head. What I can't seem to do is reconcile the terrible things I've done to my children and family or how to restore relationships. And I don't even know where to start with this Jesus is my Savior talk." 2 points. As a kingdom worker, when God places you in an opportunity to hear that question, you're like, "Thank you, Jesus," because we have the answer, right? "Thank you, Jesus. You have allowed me to be part of the team to maybe get one more for the kingdom." So I'm just sitting there. I'm like, "Oh, man, this is just, it's like a ball tossed to me because I got the good news," right? Second thing, how do you get your mind around, "I can do 3 to 5 incarcerated standing on my head"? Like, who says that? The marginalized say that sometimes. And so here's a guy saying, "I can do this in my sleep. I don't even want to do 3 to 5 hours in prison." And yet he's saying to me, "But I can't reconcile or be redeemed or restoration." I'm like, "Well, I got that because that's what Jesus did to us, right?" So what a wonderful opportunity we get when I take the time to sit and listen. We love these opportunities. Mike was marginalized because of a life of abuse as a child. I got that from listening to his story. Drugs and violence, marginalized or out on the hedges and highways, these circumstances weighed him down to a point of no hope, no reconciliation, no redemption. I reached across the expanse of the table and grabbed his arm and said to him, "This Jesus, who you don't know what to do with, he knows what to do with you. He wants you to come in from the edges and have fellowship with him. And if you want to, it would be my privilege to walk with you a while as you get to know this Jesus we call our Savior and his kingdom that is here and now." I walked with Mike for about 18 months, and just like the man at the pool of Bethesda, remember that guy, and others, they picked up their bed and they walked, just like the man at the pool of Bethesda, and walked in fellowship with Jesus and were welcomed into the kingdom. Remember, this is a launching point for kingdom entry. I took the time to ask questions and listen, and the Lord gave me an opportunity. Quick update on Mike. It's been 6 years now, right? Mike is still working through lifelong hurdles. But he's in a sanctification walk, right? So he's walking. He belongs to a church. He has a construction business, and he knows what it's like to be redeemed. He's got all the fundamentals. And so he's doing well. And I'm not saying that he isn't, and none of us are. We are responsible sometimes for our actions, but we're always, always open to the free gift of redemption through Christ, right? So Mike's still doing pretty good. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's about compassion, that seeks to stand in awe of the what burdens people have to carry in their lives rather than judgment, where we are honoring them. Judging strikes the distance. Compassion and inclusion invite others to the table. I can't imagine at the end of my life when I stand before the Lord, he'll say, yes, being separate and divided is what I want. Of course he would not say that to us. Jesus was always dismantling the barriers that excluded. He was always expanding the circle of compassion. We have to remind ourselves as we put up barriers that keep other people out, that's the opposite of what God wants. Salvation is free, praise the Lord. Following Jesus will always cost us something, but the rewards are eternal. This, my brothers and sisters, is a snapshot of the upside-down kingdom. The reversal of cultural norms in an upside-down kingdom where leaders are servants, neighbors and enemies are loved, poor widows give away half of their money. Under the lordship of King Jesus, humility is exalted. The first shall be last. Offenders are forgiven 70 times 7, and ethnic outsiders kneel down to help a half-dead stranger lying in a ditch. And so I pray that God will continue to move us in the way of inclusion, of the way of invitation. Let us pray. Father God, you do not want anybody left outside the camp. Jesus came for all, and he came for the sick, not for the healthy. Father, I pray that this word that you have given me will bear fruit in some, will challenge some, will affirm some who are walking this way, Lord. But never let us get tired of laboring for you and your kingdom. Never let us get tired to going out to the hedges and the highways, however that looks for us, Lord. There's a lot of different hedges and highways to go to. But Lord, give us your power because we lack the power. But when you empower us, we can do all things in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.